let's do Pei Tesem Nalev, the last line. Haydinafik alakala the ikdisha. There was a particular woman, and there was a kol. And again, we talked about different practices in different locations. Mivat linan kala, lo mivat linan kala. So there was a rumor that she had become mikudeshes lachad mi beplanya to one of a group of sons within a family. Rava says, even though in those in general who have the practice of not being mevatel kol, this would be an exception. Because everybody will recognize that the rabbis investigated this, and remember, rabbinic approval is essential, called the mekadesh, adaisa de rabbanan mekadesh, and it was a kiddushin of a katan, it's not valid. He was of a certain size. You know, sometimes you have kids. And my 6-year-old plays in a baseball league where there are kids who are 6 years old who are over 5 feet tall and over 100 pounds. And they are a kigadol. It could be bar mitzvah. They're not even 7 years old. So Amalei Rav Mardochai, the Rav Ashi, Abba Uvda, Rav Adayin, Lo Higiel, Lepalgus, Ruvain, Shinamra, Liflagos, Ruvain, Gedolim, Chikre Lev. He hasn't even reached this stage of cognitive development. So there's no way the kiddushin could be valid. You could have somebody who's barely 5 feet tall and one of the, you know, most intelligent people in the world. You could have somebody who's, you know, 7 years old and he's a giant and, you know, doesn't have that chikre lev, doesn't reach that level. Vilvad shlo teheisham amasla. So amrava baravuna amasla shamra filo mikana adasara yamim. So as we saw, there's a discussion of kolo v'shovarimo, how much time do you have? Rav Zvidamar v'makom amasla. Even if the amasla isn't made, even if nobody actually gives the counter, if it's possible, we would make it for them, kind of like a tanina. So, somebody actually has to make the claims. I think that even if there's some other explanation which nobody has given, but it's at least theoretically possible, somebody of Kanada or Papa. It must be because there was a clear situation that the entire kiddushin was conditional that the husband shouldn't return. So shani hasam da asi baal v'kamar. That was a case where the baal comes and he actually makes this exact claim. It's not like you know a theoretical amasla, it was a literal amasla. So yihachi niseis nami. Even if she would get married, Nisa is the Avde Yisura Kansu Rabbanan. This Katsu the Avde Yisura Lo Kansu Rabbanan. So we say there's a difference. So once the marriage has already happened, there the rabbis made a knas. The rabbis didn't like the idea of anything looking like a woman, you know, who was married to one person and then married somebody else, and now it's going to go back to that original in the person. Morning Yosef. The rabbis weren't comfortable with that, so they made a knas in such a situation because it looks like Machzer Grushasa. You can't have a situation like that. As long as it was only at the stage of Kiddushin, the rabbis weren't as sensitive to the appearances. Yosef pay tesem at base. 10 lies down. Martin will take care of you. So Amar Vashi kol kala dilo yischazgu v'dino lav kalahu. Ravashi says that a rumor is not a legitimate rumor in terms of being halachically actionable until it's been mischazik v'vedina. Like we have in the beginning of this week's parsha, v'darashta heitev. Right, that everybody knows that the Beis Din are responsible. Everybody knows that they're careful, that they're scrupulous. And therefore, if a kol has made its way to the Beis Din, the kol is ischazik. Until then, it's just a rumor. Yosef, what do you say in your country? Disinformation.
From fake news.
Amar Vashi kol kol debasar nisuin lo chayshinin le'a debasar erusin chayshinon le'a. That as we said, we're not going to break up an extant marriage over a rumor. But erusin may be different. Rav Chavina Amar Pilo de Basar erusin ami lo chayshin anlay rehochasa lo chayshin anlay. That once erusin is in place, you need more than just a kol to break up erusin as well. Some of Yirmi of our Abba Shalchol mi beirav l'shmul yilandin rabenu yatzal akol mi rishon ba'acher v'kidsha. Some other guy comes along after there's a rumor involving the first husband. Kiddushei Torah, right? Kiddushin should be effective at a Daraisa level. Mahu, so Shalchlu Teitzei, Ve'amidu Adavar Alborio. It's a little bit of an enigmatic answer. So you have to break up the second marriage, and we have to investigate. Vehodi uni. So my, what does this mean? Silema dimiglai milsa the kedusha the kamalav kedusha malianinhu mivadlinan kala. If you'll tell me that what Shmuel meant to say is that the first kiddushin wasn't really legitimate kiddushin, and therefore we're going to suppress the rumor. We've already established twice, not just once, in the last few dapin, that in Shmuel's place they didn't try to put down rumors. The other direction, the first marriage was a totally legitimate marriage. The second marriage is, of course, nothing at all because she was a married woman. She just goes back. You've seen it's nice to come to the end of the Masachta because we've seen all of these concepts that a woman is always believed to say, right, her husband divorced her because, if her husband is around, because we don't assume that a woman would be so brazen to lie to her husband's face. Ein isha mi'iza paneh b'fnei bala. So she should be credible in this kind of a situation. That was the basis of Rav Hamnuna's psak. So if she accepted kiddushin from man number two, it must mean that man number one is out of the picture. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. You have to understand what the parameters of that chazaka were. Ein isha mi'iza paneh b'fnei bala v'idach chidma de Rav Hamnuna b'fanav. Shalom b'fanav, mi'iza u'mi'iza. That if it's not going to require her to lie to his face, so then, you know, anything is possible. Because in that situation, she could feel liberated to do something that she would never do. Now, remember earlier in the Masechta, we also saw that this chazaka of isha mi'iza paneha, she's not going to lie to her husband's face, but shalom b'fnei ba'ala is one case. The second case, anybody happen to remember, it's good chazara. What's the other situation we would say that she would be willing to be brazen to his face?
Not another woman,
but if she has a conspirator. Right? If another man is helping her, is giving her support, so then all of a sudden she becomes very bold. Okay, so what does this mean when it says Lo Matzu Davar Borio? So Ma'arav Rav Huna Megarish Rishon Minose Sheni. If the kol doesn't pan out, if they look into it, so then there would have to be a divorce from man number one. She could marry the second one. But Megarish Sheni Minose Rishon Lo. But she can't do that. She can't go back to husband number one. My time, Asi the Meimar, as we saw previously, Machzer Grushasa Mina Erison. The rabbis were very concerned about this. The Ramban says that the great concern and all of the halachos of marriage and divorce is machzer grushasa. Why? Because that will undermine everything that we hold sacred. Anytime we have a situation where people are divorcing their wives and it looks like they're married to another fellow and then getting back together with the original husband, everybody can understand what threat that poses to a society that aspires to kedusha. Yeah.
That's
not just is it not any appearance of that will be a third rail for us, because that will make it seem that people are, as we saw before, nishosehen kematanos. That's the concern.
Was it last Sunday you were saying that, if the woman and a man presumably not, let's say they get divorced, but then they were not married and somehow they. Okay, then that would be permitted, but not for Kohanim, right? You said Kohanim, that is also
Kohanim. Kohen can never get back together even with his own Grusha, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So, Rav Shinida Berei, the Rav Idi Amar, Afmagari, Sheni, Vino, Sirisha, Meimarami, Yini, Bir, Arbana, Bekidu, Shevi, Kudisha, Tal, Usaba. He was more liberal. He said they could get back together because everybody's going to say it wasn't a case of Matzer Grusha, so they'll trust that the rabbis investigated everything properly and that it was a Kiddush Etaos. So Yatzala Kol Mizeh O Mizeh Ma'o. So let's say there's a kol in both directions, right? So Rav Papa Avzom Megarish Rishon Venose Sheni, get together with the second husband, not the first husband, because it concerns the Matzer Grusha. So Amim Amar Mutaris L'Shneim V'Hilchasam Mutaris L'Shneim. Because there was a kol in both directions, so ironically, perhaps, but it works in her favor that she would be permitted to marry either of them, because everybody's going to assume that in this case, the rabbis investigated the kol. It turns out that there was a lot of smoke, but there was no fire, and she could get back together with husband number one because it wasn't ever a situation where there was machzer grushaso mina erisin. So here we come to what the Rav called the real beginning of Masech Tegitin, where we finally exactly, so it was written backwards. Beishamay omrim lo yigarish adam es ishto alim kein matzah bat var erva. Shenemar ki matzah bat erva zdavar. Beisol omrim afilu hikdicha tavshilo. Shenemar ki matzah bat erva zdavar. Rabbi Kiva omer afilu matzah acheres noa himena. Shenemar vayayim zo simtza chen beinav. So the Torah says, we'll read it, not this Shabbos, but the following Shabbos. The Torah gives a dual clause when it comes to divorce. Ki kach ish isho ve'alah. Two very different things. Matzachain be'enav means she's no longer appealing to him. What is no longer appealing? Could mean that he doesn't like the dinner she's making. It could mean that he fell in love with somebody else. Matzacharas na'ahimena. Whatever it is. That it's what they call in the United States no-fault divorce. Nothing wrong. Okay, but he's looking to move on. So two of the three shitos here basically say that, yeah, okay, Beis Hillel will say hikdicha tavshilo, but what does that really mean? Some of the Rishonim explained that she was doing it, you know, lahachas, that she was really doing it out of disdain for him. But the simple reading is that you don't really need much of a cause at all. And Beis Shammai comes from the exact opposite perspective. He emphasizes the clause in the pasuk of kimatza ba'ervaz davar, namely, that there is no volitional divorce in halacha. You must remain married until you're no longer allowed to remain married. Because let's be very clear, when a woman has gone outside of the marriage, when she's been unfaithful, you're not allowed to stay married to her. There's nisul ba'al, nisul ba'al. So Beis Shammai says there is no optional divorce. Divorce is only in a situation of when you cannot stay married because she has not been faithful to the bonds of marriage. So you have a radically different perspective here. So the Gemara explains, Tanei Rabbi Solo Beis Shammai ve'lo kvar nemar davar. It doesn't just say erva. Amar la Beis Shammai ve'lo kvar nemar ervas. Amar la Beis Solo olim nemar ervas lo nemar davar. Yisi omer mishum erva teitze, mishum davar lo teitze. L'kach nemar davar. V'ilu nemar davar ve'lo nemar ervas. This is particularly interesting. Hayisi omer mishum davar tinase la'acher, mishum erva lo sinasi la'acher, l'kach nemar ervas. So Beis Hillel says, now the reason you need this dual expression of ervas davar is for one very simple reason. Right? If we only had a situation of erva, of a woman who had been unfaithful to this marriage, and now this marriage is going to break up, what might we say, Yitzchak? She's not allowed to marry anybody again. She's desecrated the bonds of marriage once. We have no confidence in her to go forward on d'oraisa level. That's why it says, ervas davar, that we even treat erva like davar. She can get another crack at it, so to speak. But that's not the only situation of divorce. What do they do? For them, it should only say erva. So it's very, very important to understand. So Beis Shammai says, because we maintain that the only divorce which is legitimate in halacha is when divorce is mandatory, because that is our position, it has to be established very clearly. No rumors, only halachic fact. How do we establish halachic fact? Al pi shnei edim, o shlosh edim yakum davar. We are not going to accept hearsay, we're not going to accept any kind of innuendo. And even though this is a challenge, because in apotropos larayos, then we have all discussion, hein hein edi yichud, hein hein edi bia, but it has to be established that this is indeed the case, that she has gone outside of the bonds of marriage. Okay. Yosef, you're living in a Beis Hillel world. This is Shitas Beis Shammai we're talking about.
But the halacha is Beis Hillel.
That's correct. But we have to understand the position of Beis Shammai also.
You're saying there is another opinion. There is a minority opinion.
Right here.
Okay.
Right here. And it's an important opinion.
Right.
You have to understand. Beis Shammai says, you can't just divorce your wife. Marriage is marriage.
Maybe that's what the other religions
are. The only basis is when you must divorce her. Ki matza ba'er
vastavar. So you say you basically cannot divorce unless there is that kind of situation.
Unless you must. Beis Hillel mikseh erva b'davar. Does it say the erva as established by two witnesses? Beis Shammai miksev o erva o davar. So Beis Shammai says, but it's not two different situations. Beis Hola hachi ksev ervas davar, the mashmahachi u mashmahachi. Now what about Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva says, afilu matza acharas, maikam if Rabbi Kiva, the Rish Lakish, ki mishamei shvar belefonos, bishonos I dilma elo daha, Beis Shammai savri, v'ayayim lo sinza chen v'inav, ki matza ba ervas davar daha. Matzava ervas davar. That's the only situation because Rabbi Kiva savar ki matzava ervas davar inami matzava ervas davar. Two completely different clauses. Imosim tzachen beinav is one. You know, you've moved on. Ki matzava davar or that there's an erva. So Amar le Rapapa le Rava lo matzava lo erva lo davar maho. Amar le mi digali rachmana gabiones lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav be'amud behechzer kai hasam digali rachmana v'lhacham ayda avad avad. So if a person divorces his wife literally for no reason, not because of an erva, not even because matzah charis na'ei mena, he just decides one fine Tuesday morning, he says, you know what, I'm going to send her packing. Does that even work? The Gemara says, yeah, because there's only one situation in halacha where a person is literally not able to divorce his wife. Kol yamav b'amod v'hechzer kai, where he's mechuyav to stay married to her, which is a situation of onus. He's assaulted her.
What about the case of the seducer?
Ones and mefata. So mefata is a little bit different in that respect also. Oh, but you're right. You can put ones and mefata in the same bucket, but ones is even stronger. So there, the Torah says, lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. And the concern is, of course, because at the time there was a major...
She can...
say she doesn't want to marry the person.
Okay, but once they're married...
Right, the reason I didn't mention Mefata is because he doesn't have to marry her necessarily off the bat. Once they're married, you're right. Okay. In the situation of Ones, he's not given a choice.
Okay.
Now, she's always given a choice. She doesn't have to marry this guy.
Okay.
But you have to understand the stigma that was associated with
right.
being a woman who had been assaulted.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why... That's a situation where he doesn't have the right to divorce her. But any other situation, if he divorces her, the divorce is valid. Doesn't mean that we admire the person for doing so, but it means that al pi halacha, it's totally valid. My David Abba, some there of Mishar Shidarava, im liba lagarshi yoshev estach, the Misham Shaso, mao karile al tachre shal rea charav, u yoshev leveta chitach. That the Gemara says, if you've made up your mind to divorce your wife, this is a very important halacha, then you should divorce your wife. It's not appropriate to maintain a marriage in a situation where she assumes that everything is stable and he's already decided that he's just waiting for his time. That's not an acceptable situation. Remember, we learned in Darim, we talked about Grushas Halev. So... Not necessarily. But what is very important is that if she believes the marriage is a healthy one and he's already decided to divorce her, the halacha looks very askance at that. It's not fair to her. He has to allow her to move on with her life in a situation which is going to be more respectful of her. So Tanya... Woman who sews in the marketplace, who fruma mishnei tzada, people could see her upper arms, v'rochatzas imnei adam, and she swims with men, imnei adam salkadaitach, it can't be that she's actually doing that, but makom shebnei adam rochtin, zo mitzvah min ha-tora l'garsha shenemar, ki matzah ba'er vaz davar. Okay? Now, what the Gemara is saying here is that there are, just like when it comes to how fastidious a person is going to be, when it comes to what they eat. You know, some people, if a fly will go into their drink, they'll never drink that again because they're very particular. Other people, don't even the fly itself doesn't bother them. It's the Gemara. Says it's not good. And then other people, most people, they say, Midas Koladam, as long as the fly isn't there anymore, people, okay. The same thing is true with women. So the Gemara is saying that you have certain men, who, when there's a woman who does something which is not the worst thing in the world, and she just wants to have some kind of a life outside of the home, she's not going around talking to strange men. There's some men that are uncomfortable with that. They lock her in the house. Now the Gemara says about that, that that's an extreme of Papas Ben Yehuda. And that can sometimes lead to the worst possible outcomes, because if a woman feels stifled, that her husband isn't even allowing her outside of the house, then she could rebel. She could engage in znus. On the other end of the spectrum, there are women who are behaving in a way which is totally unacceptable for a Bas Yisrael, going out, talking to strange men, rochatzasim b'nei adam, you know, swimming in mixed places, showing their arms, whatever it is. So for that, the Torah says that, that kind of a woman, how can you stay married? Then in the middle, which is normal, she should be able to interact with her family, she should have a certain freedom of motion, she should be comfortable, she should feel respected. That's midas kol adam, that's what we're looking for, kind of a middle path. Torah tells us, v'yatsa mibeiso, v'halcha v'haysa l'ishacher, shalcha mibeiso, v'halcha v'haysa l'ishacher, ha'kasav kro achal omer, shenza betzugo shurisun, zahoshi risha mibeiso, v'zahichnes risha l'zoch beiso. Zocha sheni shalcha, second guy is, has a chuyos, he'll be able to divorce her. Shenamar usneha yishacharon, v'imlav kovarto, otherwise he's going to die from his marriage to this risha. Shenamar ochi amos yishacharon. That's very fascinating. The Gemara is telling us that when you have a woman who was divorced for cause, now, al pi halacha, she's allowed to marry somebody else. Remember what Beis Shammai said? Beis Shammai says they didn't think that she'd be, or Beis Hillel's Havam, you know, was that you wouldn't allow her to remarry again. I mean, in the end, she can. But it doesn't mean that that guy should remarry this woman. By bringing a Risha into his house, trying to build his house around a woman, again, unless she engaged in very sincere tshuva, who's disrespected one of the most sacred institutions in Yadus. So the Gemara says if he's lucky, he'll live to divorce her. If he's not, she'll bury him. Because you can't build a stable house around a woman who's demonstrating no respect for the bonds of marriage. So the Gemara concludes with an interesting duality. Ki sane shalach, Rabbi Yehuda Omer im sineisa shalach. So Rabbi Yochanan Omer sanoi hamishalayach. That either the woman, because she's become despicable, should be sent away, or that the one who sends her away is despicable. Lo pliki. There's no contradiction. Habizog rishon, habizog sheni. Damer blazer kol megari shishta rishon afilu mizbeach morid alav d'mal. Shenamar v'zog shenis tasuk sustima es mizbach Hashem bechi vanaka me'enod fugos me'enod pnos al amincha v'lakach l'ratzon yedcha v'amartem al ma al ki Hashem heid v'incha v'neishes nurecha asher ata bagadta ba v'hi chevrascha v'eishes brisecha. We'll make the formal siyum after shachris. Basically, the Gemara says the following, is that when it comes to Eishes Nurecha, a woman who's been with you from the very beginning, she gave you her heart. She was faithful the whole way through. And you send her away for no cause. The Mizbeach is Morid Maos, one of the holiest places in Yadus, will cry over such a thing. He can't. Doesn't mean he should. The Mizbeach is Morid Maos. Another situation, not a Zug Rishon, a Zug Sheni, a second marriage that wasn't working out anyway, she became despicable to him. That is not a situation where we look at it the same way. The point is that marriage is a sacred institution. The Torah, as we saw for 90 Dapim, this Masechta, the Torah allows Gerushin to exist as an institution. And as we pointed out at the very beginning, one of the reasons that Gerushin is allowed to exist is that the halacha doesn't believe in perpetuating a loveless marriage. Marriage shouldn't be a prison. At the same time, it's not like taking out the garbage. You know, just throw it away. You never throw it away. The Mizbeach is Morid Mos. Nobody should divorce their wife in a cavalier way. Even though Al Pi Halacha, you can talk about paskening like Beis Hillel. It doesn't actually need to be an erva. It means we take it very seriously. And this ties into a much broader point in Halacha. And this is something that I try to emphasize in all of these Daf Yomi Shiurim in general. The Halacha has certain things that are permissible. The Halacha has certain things that are prohibited. But when it comes to those things that are permissible, there's an entire range. Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to talk about this all the time. There are things that are permissible, that are noble and laudatory. There are things that are permissible that are just fine. There are things that are permissible that are really highly objectionable. For a man to divorce his wife, who trusts him, who's devoted herself to him, halachically speaking, can be done. But sanui hamishaleach, it's despicable. The mizbeach will be morid maos to do this to a person who's invested so much in this marriage. It should never be done in a situation where there's no grounds for it. And the halacha doesn't acknowledge, you know, as a positive value, a person saying, yeah, I just want to try something new, as if it was an ice cream flavor. That's not the way that we look at it. At the same time, this is where you have to really have a broader perspective. If a man has decided to divorce his wife, but she's not aware of that and is living blissfully on, that's also a form of psychological abuse. And she thinks everything is fine and he's plotting whatever it is. That's no way to treat a person either. So hopefully, you know, you look at these Gemaras and what it's meant to inculcate in us is a sense of fealty, a sense of devotion. Of course, we're living in a time when, you know, modern society doesn't support that the way that it once did. And there's an idea out there that, oh, you know, maybe it's not meant to last, that kind of a thing, which is very, very foreign to us. We accept that certain marriages don't work out. We accept that for all kinds of reasons, and it's nobody's place to judge. At the same time, as an institution, if you would say to me, does, you know, halacha believe that marriage in the optimal sense should be for a lifetime? The answer is absolutely. The halacha, of course, supports that. Sanoya mishaleach. Beis Shammai went even further. Beis Shammai said that once you're married, there is no halachic mechanism for divorce unless she has not been faithful. Okay? So that's an extreme. Obviously, there are situations where it doesn't work out between people, and it's nobody's fault, and it's nobody's place to judge. It is nothing that nobody... That being said, in terms of how we want to educate people, we don't talk to people who are marrying each other and say, you know, we'll be happy if this lasts for 5 or 10 years. That's not the attitude that we take when it comes to marriage. That's a very, very important distinction. If it doesn't work out, you know, you don't kick somebody and you don't demean somebody. And this is a very important area of growth for our community. I was, you know, as every rabbi in the world does, recently dealing with somebody who had been made to feel very ashamed because his marriage was breaking up. And he was surprised that I didn't treat him any differently. Totally unacceptable to treat somebody differently. What do I know about what was going on behind closed doors that I should stand in judgment? That being said, the Gemara says, if there were a situation where a man would just cavalierly divorce his wife, that's something that we have the strongest possible objections to. Because she gave everything to this, and now she's being put in a situation where it will never be the same. So we have to be able to strike that balance as a community where we certainly promote fidelity and fealty and teaching people that to work through things as much as possible. And at the same time, if things don't work out, not to stigmatize people, and not to assume that we knew everything that was going on, and insist that at the communal level, that you know, people should be treated, you know, with respect in marriage and outside of marriage as well. So God willing, we're going to make the siyum right after Shacharis. We'll come back in here. Martin, as always, thank you very much for all that you do to take care of the logistics. We always take care of everything so well. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll have an introductory shiur to Masechta Kiddushin for anybody who's able to join us.